Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another enthralling episode of Commit or Quit. I'm Eric.
I'm Eddie.
I'm Brian, and I'm back.
Dude, where have you been?
I've been busy, man.
Why do you act like you're busy? We all know eating snacks.
I got to keep the demand hot for these appearances. I can't oversaturate the market.
What am I then? Am I just like...
You guys have too much content out there. People don't care anymore.
Dude, this is unacceptable. Like, it is unacceptable. Like, Eric and I have been carrying this show for the last like 3-4 weeks.
God.
By Eric and I mean just purely Eric. And now you show your face like this. You think everything's okay?
I guarantee you this episode will be the highest streamed episode yet.
I mean,
guarantee it.
You're very, very arrogant.
I mean, I've been watching from the sidelines.
What have you been thinking? What have you thought?
What improvements can be made? Dude,
it's been night, but there's a lot of opportunity out there for me to step in and make the show even better.
Well, I mean, do it.
Well, that's why I'm here. Yeah. I couldn't take it any longer.
Well, you know what it was is that we just needed more things to say because Brian just decided to skimp on all these episodes.
That is true.
With Steven Yeun in my corner.
Welcome back. I mean, I don't know how Steven will feel about you sitting there right next to his lips.
I mean, but it makes sense. We'll connect that dot later, right?
Do you know Brian just keeps walking around everywhere in Korea and people are like, what kind of haircut do you want? Or what are you going for? And he's like, oh, Steven Yeun. And I'm like, dude.
Guys, Steven Yeun is my hero.
Dude, he is handsome.
I mean, he's handsome. He was a stud on Walking Dead. Just an all around, just great guy.
Yeah, and a lot of qualities that aren't you.
Hey, no one has to know that though.
Jeff Hill.
Yeah, Steven, if you're out there and you're listening, I'm a big fan.
Well, yeah.
Big fan.
What are you talking about if you're out there? Like, we've all met him and Eric, he's in Eric's phone book. Don't act like this guy's out in the distant universe and he's like not going to see this. Okay. All right.
Anyways, on to the episode.
Hey, what do you want to watch?
I don't know.
Oh, I actually heard this is really good.
What do you say? Should we commit or quit?
Welcome to Commit or Quit. It's not a show where we talk just random stuff. It's actually a show where we try to save you some time by deciding if we are going to commit or quit to TV shows, dramas, or movies. And so we have obviously spoilers in these episodes because we got to discuss it. We got to tear these movies and shows apart so we can figure out if we like it. And so today, we're talking about a movie. I think it's one of Eddie's favorite movies. He talks about this movie a lot. Today's episode, we're going to discuss the critically acclaimed South Korean film called Train to Busan. It is a 2016 blockbuster hit with actors Kong Yoo, who you may know from The Guardian, The Lonely and Great God, Dokkaebi, and Chung Yoo-mi and Ma Dong-seok, as well as the guy from Parasite. Oh, Choi Woo-shik. Oh. Choi Woo-shik.
Yeah, Choi Woo-shik.
It also stars An So-hee, formerly of the Wonder Girls as well. So it's a very, very star-studded cast in this movie.
Wow.
So pretty much, if you have any interest in a zombie apocalypse movie, this is it for you. And I think it's also timely to talk about this because the sequel to this movie is actually out now. I believe it's called Peninsula in English. And you watched it without me? You are a piece of beep!
Well, to be honest, when you guys said Train to Busan, I assumed it was Train to Busan 2. So I watched it.
But it's not. It's very different, right? Well, don't give anything away.
Different.
Okay. Yeah. Don't give anything away.
Wow. Brian's...
But anyways.
Oh, gosh.
Anyways, not surprised here. Dude skips out for 6 weeks and then like watches the sequel without us. Anyways. So besides having Brian here for the first time in a while, you know, normally we review shows or movies that has been suggested to us by our commit or quit listeners. However, this time we've decided to take this episode by our own hands and, you know, recommend our favorite top films and TV shows as well. So, you know, while we enjoy all the rom-coms and
no,
the K-dramas, we wanted to switch things up. And so,
I think we needed to switch things up. Yeah, I'm glad we're switching things up.
Time to switch things up and not just leave it in the hands of our, special guests that come on and they can talk about whatever they want. So,
true.
Anyways, that's kind of what the format is this week.
That's what it is. We're going to talk about... Eddie, you picked this show actually, right?
Yes, this is my pick.
This is Eddie's pick. It's one of his favorite Korean movies. So, Eddie, go ahead. Let us know about the Netflix synopsis of this movie.
Sure. As a zombie outbreak sweeps the country, a dad and his daughter take a harrowing train journey in an attempt to reach the only city that's still safe. The highest grossing film locally in 2016... This blockbuster is Korea's first zombie movie to become a box office hit. Hey, now listen, that Netflix synopsis is pretty strong.
This is pretty good. Last week's was horrible.
Yeah, it was like single so bad. Mother sells crab thriller. Unacceptable. Netflix, yeah, like
last week's was really bad.
Yeah, I feel like this synopsis was written by like a Netflix employee and not an intern as they usually
right.
use.
Last week's was like an intern who was like he or she knew they weren't getting the job. So they're just like, you know what? Forget about it. I'm just going to do as bad of a job as I possibly can.
Exactly. All right,
so we're here. We're ready for this. Kong Yu, Chung Yu Mi, Ma Dong Seok, Choi Woo Sik, An Soo Yi. Just star-studded cast. It's a big movie. Did very well. Obviously, that's why they have a highly, highly anticipated sequel, Peninsula.
I think it's worth mentioning like the amount of records that this movie has broken as well. You know,
Share it with us.
According to Variety, it earned over 34.3 million from 4.75 million admissions over its opening 5-day run, which means, huge excitement internationally. And then according to the Hollywood Reporter, the movie smashed the record of highest grossing South Korean film in Hong Kong, held by, believe it or not, My Sassy Girl since 2002. If you guys don't know the importance of what we're saying right now, go check out the Ronnie Chang episode where Eric gets bullied for an hour and a half straight. But what a crazy difference that is. Over a 14-year period that My Sassy Girl, is overtaken by a zombie movie of all things.
Yeah.
And then lastly, on August 7th, 2016, Train to Busan became the first Korean film of the year to top 10 million moviegoers. And the way this even came on my radar was I read an article while I was in LA. It turned out that like there was a ton of buzz from Cannes. And there was like a standing ovation type of thing going on. And you know when they say at these like fancy schmancy film festivals when people stand up and give it a standing ovation that it's like the real deal. I think Parasite also had like something like an 8-minute standing ovation or something at another one of these massive festivals. So anyways, all to say Train to Busan is legit. Eric, can you tell us a little bit about the cast and the characters? I know you referenced a little bit earlier.
There so is a lot of cast and character. Let me just say, like, the main character is Kong Yu. He plays this dude named Seok Woo. And Chung Yu Mi plays Song Kyung. She's a pregnant woman whose husband is Ma Dong Seok, character is Hang Hwa, played by Ma Dong Seok. And then there's a little girl named Soo An, that is the daughter of Seok Woo. And the other ones are just like, I don't know. I don't know if we really need to go into the detail of everybody.
Yeah, sure.
Those are like kind of like the main four for me. The other two are side characters. Even then, like Choi Woo-sik, he was a rising star at the moment. An Soo-hee was, she had just started acting as well from The Wonder Girl. So at the time, 4 or 5 years ago, like obviously they were up and coming. Their role isn't as big as it was in Parasite or etc. Anyways, for the purposes
Eric,
of this,
Eric, who is the actress who is The Wonder Girls?
Soo-hee.
Soo-hee?
Yeah.
Got it.
So that's the girl who is with the baseball team, right? All right. So, the recap. This is a very, very brief recap. Pretty much the main character, Kong Yu, Seok Woo, he's a workaholic who is going through a divorce and his daughter and his mother live with him in Seoul. He is a fund manager, so he makes money doing finance, right? We also meet other passengers, including a pregnant woman, Song Kyung, and her very, very bullish Sang-hwa husband, Ma Dong-seok, who is pretty much this big dude who just like, he's like the Incredible Hulk, right? So the daughter, Soo An, And Seogwoo, Soo-ah is going, wants to go to her mom in Busan. And as the father and the mother are going through divorce, the daughter keeps going like, I want to go to Busan. I want to go live with mom. I want to go live with mom. And so Seogwoo, the dad, is just not the best father. Let's put it that way. Right? Mm-hmm. Is very busy, thinks only of work. And throughout the movie, there are a lot of references of like, oh, you only think about yourself. You don't care about me or the others or blah, 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 that kind of thing. So anyways, daughter wants to go to Busan to spend, you know, birthday with mom. And so they end up going to Busan. And somehow there is a zombie apocalypse that occurs just as they get onto the train. And a zombie pretty much stumbles onto the train, starts convulsing on the floor, and within minutes of the train leaving, starts biting people. Just starts savagely biting attendants who then turn into zombies, and they infect other people. Everybody gets bit and everybody goes crazy. And then you're kind of like, is anybody going to survive? Will anybody survive this train to Busan?
That's very simply put, but there are a lot of things they do right in this film, which is why I picked it, right?
I mean, let's just go into it. Like,
let's jump in.
What is it about this movie in particular that you love so much?
Zombies. Sorry, Eddie. Okay. I think he was asking you.
Let me take it a little bit deeper. Where do I even begin? Okay. Like, first off, Eric's overview, it's pretty spot on, right? There's not much else you can really say. Yeah, they're zombies. They're biting people. People are dying. Okay. But beyond that, it's the fact that it's setting in Korea. And there are no guns in Korea. Everything we've seen in zombie movies typically has been like, okay, find that military guy or that police officer with the gun. Let's rally and let's shelter in place and protect ourselves from these zombies, you know? But instead, we're on a high-speed moving train. There are no guns. It's just going from like one little train. What do you even call those things? Like
stop. Cart.
Yeah, train cart. Yeah, one cart getting infected.
Different sections.
Yeah, going into the next car. And they're just like, you know, it is like this ongoing adrenaline rush. And it is just so, so exciting. And the characters are different enough that it makes it very interesting from different vantage points. And overall, I mean, we'll get into it a little bit deeper. I just think it's like the most realistic interpretation of what could happen in a zombie apocalypse. You know, it's not like overly gory. It's just like this is happening. And this is probably how it would happen if it was on a train to Busan.
Fair. Is that
all right. Episode's over. All right. See ya.
Wait, but.
So commit or quit.
But I will say, for me, I'm a simple man. I will say there are a lot of very crappy zombie movies out there.
Yeah.
I don't know how you take a subject as interesting as zombies and you make it crappy, but there's a lot of crappy movies out there revolving around zombies. And I think that's what stood out about Train to Busan. It was one, entertaining, and like you said, it made sense in a way. Because there's a lot of zombie movies out there where it's just like it's so unrealistic, you just can't buy into it. But I thought the acting was good, the storyline was good, and just generally speaking, like, it didn't seem too left field where you're just like, this is not possible. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Or did I just
definitely? I mean, it's a subject matter that's been done over and over, right? It's like, let's take like Batman for example. How many different, you know, Batman movies can possibly exist? You know, but then Christopher Nolan does The Dark Knight in that trilogy, and you're just like, wow, this is incredible. You know, the same framework, the same exact story, but told in a different way, a little bit more tasteful. So, how many people have tried zombies? So many. Who have tried zombie movies and failed? Zombieland. Horrible. The sequel. One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
I like Zombieland.
No. You probably like the first one. The second one is just... It's one of those things where you're like, all these A-list actors, they got paid. Because there's no way that you're looking... There's no way they're looking back over the scenes and being like, oh, that joke is funny. You know?
Right.
Like, oh, this one really hit. It's like Eurovision with Will Ferrell that just recently came out. One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. But you're going in with the expectation of like it's Will Ferrell. Fine.
Eric, well, I just,
no,
I just,
it was not.
I legit, okay, but I went into that movie being like, this is a Will Ferrell movie. It's just going to be really, really dumb. Like, and it was dumb. And that's what I wanted. And so I was good.
Agree. But Will Ferrell's genre of dumb has like smart elements to it. Like Step Brothers. There are parts of genius where you're like, there are certain jokes here that will last the test of time. You know, when we're on Mars and stuff, right? But Eurovision was so dumb that
Hey man, anyways. I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes right now and it has a 63%.
That's not bad.
Are you serious?
It's pretty good. 80% audience score.
See? I'm telling you, people are simple.
Okay, Brian, why don't you go look up what Train to Busan's rating is?
Okay.
So,
Train to Busan has a 94% tomato meter.
Exactly, dude.
Tomato meter?
Tomato meter.
Tomato? Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah. 80% audience score.
Okay. Anyways, let's get back on track, Eric.
Yo, bro, real quick. You kind of look like this, dude.
Dude, that's why I set him as my background, okay? Very intentional Zoom background. So, Brian just brought up a really good point. He said that I look like Kong Yu, right?
One of the most famous actors. Is this why you chose Train to Busan? Was this your plan all along?
No. I've had a couple like American friends raise that point to me. I don't see it. I really don't. But I'll take it.
Everyone listening to this, don't tell Eddie he looks like him.
I take back. Please, for the sake of our brotherhood, don't do it. It's really going to challenge.
Remember
a lot
when
of
this
in our
man
family.
In Tokkebi in Goblin was holding up your album?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
That went pretty viral.
Are you saying that to you? It's because he looks like you?
I'm just saying that's where the rumor started.
We got to bring that picture back.
Yeah.
Okay, can we talk about this movie?
Dude, you guys stay on track for once?
I've literally been quiet for the past 4 minutes. I haven't said a single word.
Here's the problem. Quit using this opportunity to catch up with each other, okay? Like, we can catch up offline. You guys are too busy for me.
We ain't got time, bro. We ain't got time for that. What's up, Commit or Quit family? This is Eric here, and this week's episode of Commit or Quit is supported by BetterHelp.com. Now, if you guys have been listening to Commit or Quit or my music or my interviews, you guys know that I discuss mental health and my feelings and emotions pretty openly. And the reason I do that is because I think it's important to normalize discussions around it. Because for some reason, apparently people just feel uncomfortable talking about it and sharing it. Now, I think it's important to normalize it, especially because early on in my career in Korea, you know, I wanted to go see a therapist about how I was feeling, and it was very much frowned upon, and I was discouraged from doing so. And that's why I'm really excited to share with you today's sponsor, our supporter, it's BetterHelp, because they allow people to get access to therapy and counseling at any time from any place without having anybody know. So it's BetterHelp. Better H-E-L-P. It's an affordable alternative to offline counseling, and they also provide financial aid for people who need it. They have licensed professional counselors who are specialized in a ton of different areas, from depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, LGBT matters, grief, anger, etc., etc. Whatever you want to talk about, anything you're going through, they have the right person for you to talk to them about it. Now, it's much more affordable and convenient than seeking somebody out in person, especially during these times of coronavirus. In fact, some people are using it that they're hiring a lot more counselors. So I speak a lot on living a healthy, happy, fulfilled life. And I just want you to know that there are resources available for you to do so as well, such as BetterHelp.com. And as a listener of Commit or Quit, you can get 10% off your first entire month by visiting BetterHelp.com/DiveStudios. You can join more than 1 million people who are taking charge of their mental health and happiness. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/DiveStudios for 10% off your first month. I just signed up to try it out and I just got a message. So I'm just scheduling my consultation, my counselor. And I don't know what I'm going to talk about yet. But anyways, if you guys, again, are interested, check it out. BetterHelp.com/DiveStudios. Now back to this amazing show, Commit or Quit. Thanks. All right. Okay. So let's talk about this. Okay. This movie. I'll be very honest. Eddie and I have thought about this movie a lot. We've had a lot of disagreements. Eddie has yelled at me about it. And I've just said like, dude, don't get mad at me that I don't like this movie. Like I can not like a movie and I should be able to share my opinion without you verbally abusing
me. Wait, you didn't like this movie?
When I first saw it, I did not like it. When I first saw it, I was like, I think I was zombied out. I just remember being so sick of zombie movies and like Walking Dead and even like Game of Thrones is essentially White Walkers, aka zombies. Like everything is just zombies. And so I was like, yeah. Like I think I was just tired of it. But this time I think like I watched it again and it was fine. It was good.
It hit
movie.
Different.
It was a good movie. I think the other thing was I watched it in Korea in Korean without subtitles. And so I probably missed a lot of the nuances and a lot of the language things. Like I didn't have any translation. So I'm like pretty much making up what's going on as I'm watching it. I'm like, why are they running? Oh, why is there a zombie? Like,
yeah.
So I think that was also part of it. I watched with Korean subtitles this time. And again, I didn't understand 100%, but I had like 95% I think I understood. And having watched it again, I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was much more palatable than originally I had thought. I did think it was a little bit too long. Like I could have it 10, 15 minutes shorter and be great.
Oh my gosh.
That's me. See?
But what part would you take out? Everything's necessary.
What part would I take out? I don't know. Maybe I have to watch it again. But like, there were just so many train cars that I was like, we could do with one less. Or just the ending. Like, the ending once they're off the train
spoilers.
And they're like…
Spoiler
okay,
alert.
Okay, obviously spoilers. If once they're like off the train and they're trying to like make it over and that annoying, obnoxious rich guy who just won't shut up. He just is everywhere. I'm just like, get out of here, please. Like, can we please move on with this? Like, it was towards the end that I got antsy. Like, I didn't look at, like, remember before I started this idea, I was like, I'm so tired. Like, how long is this movie? And you're like, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I thought it would be an hour and a half. It was easily 2 hours. And so I think.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. So I think at like an hour 45, I was like, how much longer is this? And it was 15 minutes more. And so I think that's when I was like, okay, great movie. I could have these last. You know, a little bit kind of be cut out. That's just me. You don't have to agree with me, but that's
no,
me.
No, I mean, I agree, but I think for you, when you watch a movie, you got to make sure that like, you got to set like a 3 hour buffer so you can just enjoy it for what it is. Because I think like, if you're pressed on time, of course, like you can always think that parts can get cut out, you know? But for me, when my heart is beating out of my chest for an hour and 45 minutes, I need that 15 minute cool down. Does it make sense?
I mean, okay. If you're thinking about it as a soccer game, okay. Hmm. That's cool. Do your thing.
I'm just
but
saying.
But like, I mean, okay, fine. I did like, you know, the reason I think I did like it also more this time is because we're in the time of COVID.
Yep.
And watching it, I was just like, this is so real. Like everything about this, I was like, this is just a virus. But like the virus turns people into zombies. But like COVID is everywhere. And I was just like,
true.
It was like the apocalypse movie that I was like, it's just a different virus, essentially.
Yeah. Brian, what did you think? Do you agree with Eric's notes on this in regards to the COVID?
I'm a simple man.
You when keep watch, saying that, watch, but you're not simple, dude.
When I watch movies, no, I'm simple when it comes to watching stuff.
Okay, thank God, because everything else, you're not simple. And you're exhausting.
When it comes to movies, as long as like I'm entertained, then if it's entertaining, the acting is good, then like I'm sold.
Yeah.
Storyline, it's not the biggest, you know, deal breaker for me, but I thought it was really entertaining. And I, for some reason, I really like this concept of like people being stuck on these like these moving trains. I watched Snowpiercer again as well.
The movie?
Yeah.
Or the drama?
The TV show. Like I think Netflix made like a TV show of Snowpiercer.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Acting is pretty bad, but because they're on train cars, it makes it so much more interesting. I don't know why. But like these confined spaces where people are like all freaking out. Like they're getting cut off between train cars. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it.
guys, for those...
That's my take.
So literally, this is a movie about zombies, and the reason Brian likes it is because he likes Thomas the freaking Tank Engine.
But hold on. What I don't like are movies like World War Z with Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever saw that.
Because there's one scene. It doesn't make sense. You know the scene where he literally blows up a grenade on the plane?
I've never seen this movie. I have no
idea. No, Brian, you can't just reference a movie that nobody's seen. But just
the dude. No, okay.
But I think you're onto something, dude.
Hear me out. Have you seen World War Z?
Yes, I have.
Remember the scene where there's like zombies on the plane, and he throws a grenade on the plane, and the entire plane blows up.
Mm-hmm.
And he survives.
Yeah.
That's where they lost.
I mean, because it's Brad Pitt. You can't kill off Brad Pitt.
He literally blew himself up in the air.
Dude, if you're that handsome, you have like a higher likelihood of surviving.
That's fair.
That's just fair. So you know.
Dude, it just wasn't meant to be.
Brian, you think Mission Impossible makes sense? Nothing about Mission Impossible ever makes sense.
But dude, it does because it's Tom Cruise.
It does.
I mean, it is Tom Cruise.
It's like, dude, okay, to your point about the trains, there is something really suffocating and compelling about it all taking place in this confined space. Like the fact that they have to fight these zombies. Again, there are no guns, mind you, but they're like climbing over those seats and having to like hide behind the seats that are bolted in place. That is like a whole other level of frustration where like think about the frustration of being on a plane and you're on the inside seat and there's somebody on the aisle. And they're sleeping and you're trying to just walk over them to get into your space, right? Into your chair.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible.
So much of that. But imagine this person is not actually sleeping, but is a zombie and is trying to kill you and eat you. And there are about 100 of them instead. That's what Train of Busan is. Yeah.
It's a good way to put it. What would your strategy be if you're stuck on a train with zombies?
If I was stuck on a train with zombies?
I already know what mine would be.
What would yours be?
I want to hear yours first.
I would probably just die. I literally kept thinking, I'm just going to die.
Eric, you need like you need a dog or something to live for, dude. You need something to be like, I need to survive this.
No, I think I was so stressed. And then I was like, look, if I was that grandma, I'd be like, yo… Peace.
Would you at least try to go out like in a heroic way? Like in your head, you know, you're like, oh, like I'm just done with this. But to everyone else, that's like you're trying to protect them or something. Like, oh, I'll sacrifice my body.
I would be like Ma Dong-suk and be like, okay, I will sacrifice my body. Y'all can run away. Okay. Right. You guys can get away. You and Rocky can run.
That's always cool.
And then I just be like, all right. I'll tell you what though, Eric,
if you were, Eric, if you were to make that sacrifice, you know, I would really appreciate that. I really would. But I'll tell you something. This is one thing that was a little frustrating for me. And maybe this is what added to people liking it more is this movie definitely has K-drama elements to it. Right? So as rabid and crazy as like the violence is, there are moments where like Ma Dong-suk has to… Again, if you're listening to this podcast, there's spoilers, okay? Ma Dong-suk is holding up the door and he's bit… And his wife, his pregnant wife is like, oh my God, no. Very sad. It kills you when you see that moment. But he's like holding on. He's like, get out of here. I am literally holding this and sacrificing my body so you can go to the other train car. And she's like, she's crying. And then he's like, hey, let me also name our baby. You know? And then I'm like, in theory, that's cool, right? So… Okay, so sacrificing himself and looks back at the wife and says, our daughter's name should be Julie. Name her Julie, right? Now think about when Julie is born 3 months from now. I'm sure that wife has like a really good memory of calling her daughter's name Julie, seeing her husband being ravaged by zombies and that being
the inception
of the name. Or telling
Julie where she got her name from.
Where'd you get your name from? Your dad was eaten by zombies and as he was dying, he said, it's Julie. And so, your name is Julie.
Exactly. That was a little bit nonsensical to me, right?
I think it was moments like that where the first time I watched it, I was like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I'm probably conditioned to like this movie more now because I've had to go through Commit or Quit and watch so many K-dramas that I'm sitting there being like, oh my God, so many love stories that now I'm conditioned to be like, all right, whatever. It is what it is. And maybe that adds to the factor that I can I can watch Train to Busan and be like, oh, not bad.
Let's talk about Mago Suck for a moment.
Okay, go.
Brian, what do you think of him in this film?
Of him?
Yeah. He is the Korean Dwayne Johnson. And I'm pretty sure this is the movie that broke him.
It definitely was. This is the movie that put him on my radar, which is the most important one. Honestly, I don't recall very much, but I like this character. He's just kind of a stud.
What do you mean you don't recall very much? Did you not watch this movie?
Dude, I watched this like…
Oh my God. Brian didn't even rewatch this movie, but he went to watch the sequel.
Well, I literally thought you guys meant Train to Busan 2.
Well, how would we watch Train to Busan 2 when none of us can go to a theater? I was like, somehow
I was like, surely Eric and Eddie would want to do something that's current and relevant. Oh, Train to Busan 2 came out on Wednesday.
We should discuss Train to Busan 2 at some point, right?
I mean, yeah, we should. You didn't think, oh, we have to discuss this. Maybe I should invite Eric to go and watch it with me because we have to discuss it. And you just left.
Hey, how about you guys just both chill out, okay? At least you guys are able to function in a country that acknowledges coronavirus as an actual
infection, sorry, guys.
Disease.
Sorry.
The fact I see you guys walking around and, you know… breathing fresh air and eating at restaurants is crazy. And just so all of you guys know, they're both in Seoul. So this is okay because the government has acknowledged that this is a real thing and that masks actually prevent the spread of COVID. Unlike here, where I'm in Georgia and people think this is a game. They think it's a game.
Yeah, wear a mask, people.
Korea yesterday, it was like 30 new cases.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, they're doing a great job.
Trying to contain it. Anyways, okay. So let's talk about Ma Dong-seok.
Going on Ma Dong-seok, very simple answer. I think he's a great actor. I think he's a stud. He definitely adds that physical element to the movie of which many would not be able to do or replace his character.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I do want to go back to my earlier question, Eddie, about what your strategy would be. On this bus or on this train.
Yeah, what would your strategy be?
Okay, what are my realities? Am I still like married in this Rocky here or am I in the movie?
No, this is real life.
Yeah.
Real life.
Everything you have going on right now, say like not tomorrow because that's too soon, but like 2 days from now, right?
Okay.
You're on a train. Okay. And it's like… you're not like three cars away.
I'm sorry. I just thought it was funny. It was like… Not tomorrow because that's too soon. But in 2 days, it's okay.
Dude, tomorrow's unrealistic. There's no reason to be on a train
Brian,
tomorrow.
Brian, I will answer your question as seriously as possible. Set the table right now. Me know.
So you're on a train. The infection just started in like the back car, right?
Okay.
You're like four or five cars down. So you, if you're looking down, you can see something happening, right? And then like they break through the first door into the next car. And you're like, oh, like is that a zombie? Like people are running towards me. They get closer. So now they're only like a train or two away from you. Like a car or two away from you. What would you do then?
Okay. Like, so is this current day knowledge of me knowing what I know and how this could possibly pan out?
Yes.
Okay. Then the first thing I do is if I hear an alert of, hey, there's some people acting crazy in the back train, like blah, blah, blah. And I see attendants running past me. Trying to figure out the situation, what will I do? I will pick up my backpack and I will walk to the first car, however far it makes me go. And probably by like when I hit like business class or whatever, right? Because I'm in economy, no doubt.
I forgot. Hear me out. The door's locked.
What? What door is locked?
The door to the next car is locked. It's jammed. You know how it is in movies.
No, Brian, this is not fair. You're basically just saying like, you're basically giving me no option to survive.
Hold on. Listen, hear me out. It's like a glass window. The bolt, it's like not working for some reason.
Okay.
Some dude tried to open it, but he like jammed it. He like messed up the handle and everyone's like, oh, wait, why'd you do that? And now you're stuck with like 10 people. Everyone's trying to like break out of that door. What do you do?
this is crazy. If the door is jammed, then I'm just gonna die. There's no way I can sacrifice other people. There's no way I can like do
smash the window.
Well, then why is it even jammed? Of course I would smash the window. I'll do whatever it takes to get out. Like, dude, honestly, if the train is moving at 60 miles an hour, okay, we'll give it that. If I have a chance to smash a window, I'm just jumping straight out and I'll deal with the consequences later. Yeah, I might like lose like some, I might hit my head really hard on something. Dude, I may like lose something very valuable to my body, but I'm not going to stay on a train. You trap me in this fantasy scenario.
I forgot one part though.
What's the other part?
This is like Snowpiercer type of train. Like you're on the side of a mountain. You jump, you're going straight down.
All right. Dude, also, is Brittany, are Brittany and Rocky here or no?
I mean, if Brittany and Rocky are here, that's totally different scenario.
No, they're in the business class car.
Oh, they're in the business class.
We had to save money.
All right. So I'm like, not playing guys, this game. It's so unrealistic. But if it was realistic and it was a similar like train, I'm going all the way to business class. They're going to say, I'm not allowed up here, you peasant. And I will swipe my card and say, I'm purchasing a seat right now. And then I'll go to business class and they'll let me in. And then I'll go, hey, I'm going to first class. They're like, you can't afford this. I'll swipe my credit card and I will go to first class and I'll wait it out. And I'll see what happens. And I'll be like that man, that crazy old man who's like, you can't let anyone else in here. We have to, the survivors have to survive, right? And I'll do that. But I won't do that at the risk of other people's lives. And I'll make it all the way to the end. But I won't get bit. I'll tell you this. I'm a lot more athletic, I think, than a lot of these people in these zombie movies who keep collapsing over their own limbs and tripping on their own shoelaces. Like, make sure your shoes are tied in a zombie apocalypse. I am so sick and tired of people being startled. I'm sick and tired of people.
Yeah, like, tie your shoes before you start running.
Dude, and here's why I actually love Train to Busan. This is another little nugget that I love is when this virus starts infecting and going crazy and they see it on TV and they see people biting other people. Like the trending news in the Korean, neighbor search was like zombies, right? Every other zombie TV show or movie, they always act like this is like something that they've never seen before. You know how they always go through like the process of saying, you've got to shoot it in the head. It looks like they're flesh eating. You know, like guys, we're living in 2020. I think we know what a zombie is. We've been writing about it since the 80s. Okay. Like,
true.
We see what it is. It looks like a zombie. Let's treat it like a zombie and let's move on.
Yeah. Zombie rights, man.
I'm just saying.
Dude, I will say this. I am convinced that if you play dead, you'll actually survive.
I do too. I always wondered that.
Like what I was going to say is like, if I was on that train, you know where like the little, the areas are where you put the baggage? It's like the little, the shelf. You just lay down there and you just close your eyes. You don't move.
Right. I've thought
everyone else is freaking out below you. They're all freaking out. They're trying to.
You guys are a bunch of amateurs. You guys are a bunch of amateurs.
Why is that amateurish?
That's very just because you hide, just so you know, zombies don't just like starve to death. They are like literally eternal and they just like sit and walk around in circles forever. You know, like Mr. Jenga Man, the CEO type of dude who's killing everybody in this film. He has to sacrifice somebody and throw him out there because he's trapped in the bathroom. You can't just wait it out. These guys just stay there in the same place. Like, you guys are making it like simplifying. This is why, yeah, you would die.
I would be that grandma and I would just die. Like, Eric, peace out.
Eric, you're a smart guy. But when it comes to zombie knowledge, your logic, you'd be the first to go. I'm sorry to say.
Dude, I do not want to live in a world where like literally everything is heartbreak, everything is broken, and I'm paranoid all the time. Like, and in the off case that I do die, like fighting a zombie, it's like I will have lived like days or weeks or months of just like meaningless life because I've been so just like miserably and paranoid. I would be miserable.
Mm-hmm. So if we're on a train, Eric would be the one that throws himself into the crowd of zombies.
You're welcome. Yeah. I'm taking a sacrifice for you guys. I would be on
the
shelf
and Eddie's breaking through the doors.
Eddie's jumping out into them.
Honestly, I'm glad we're establishing R&R right now because I can't deal with this kind of negativity. Like, I understand, Eric, it's not the perfect world you want to live in, but like, you have to survive. And if you're willing to give up right now, then just give up and sacrifice yourself. But I would be so pissed. I would be so pissed if I like survive next like 10 years. I make my own farm and we have like a little like village and I've created a nice community and we're just making do, right? In this little community, zombie free. And somehow there's a leak and the zombie that bites me is you. That would piss me. That would piss me off.
Okay, 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 okay.
That would really piss me off. So I won't
die. I won't die. I will survive.
Okay. I'll definitely be that character that people think died, but I actually come back like 2 years later.
I don't know. I think you think too highly of
yourself. That's like Steven Yeun.
I think you're giving yourself too much credit.
I want to bring this full circle. Steven Yeun in that scene in Walking Dead where he's actually like under the garbage can. And he survives.
I mean, I understand your intention, but like, I just think you give yourself too much credit.
Here's the reality. If Brian's separated from us and we meet back with him 5 years later, in Brian's head, he thinks he's going to be more ripped. He's going to have Steven Yeun's hair and he's going to have like four rifles across his chest. And he's going to be like, guys, like I figured it out. But in reality, he's going to be this shriveled up old man. Okay. With a ton of pimples on his face, a unibrow and like 20 pounds lighter. And he's been eating squirrels for the last 5 years and has had no human contact. And he's just actually insane. So that is the reality, Brian. I hate to break it to you, but that's what would happen.
Fair.
You know, that's, you know, it's what happens. It's, you know, hopefully this is fiction forever and none of this happens.
Yeah. So where are we on this?
You know, we've gone nothing according to what our producer and writers have written for us. We've literally just gone in circles of just how we would survive. We've determined that Eric would be the greatest person and just take sacrifices if needed. Yes. But otherwise, we try to survive as much as possible. Right. Eddie's just going to be like this super hyper dude who's just like, oh my God, get off me. And then Brian's just going to be like, crippled up in a little ball.
But yeah, Brian's going to be the guy who goes to the bathroom and then takes off the toilet seat and hides in the doo-doo until it's all over.
Honestly, I probably would do that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's a pretty good hiding spot.
It is a good spot because like when you come out, whatever remnant of human flesh or whatever, you'll just smell like
it's rotting
human,
off.
Yeah, just feces. Yeah. And so even the zombies will be like, oh, he's one of us.
You're going to die of whatever disease you get from sitting in poop.
Hey, I'm alive.
You're alive. Okay, let's talk about something a little bit different real quick. Like, okay, I think what I kept watching, you know, we talked about this briefly, is like, as I'm watching this, I'm like, oh my God, this is almost hitting too close to home. Like this entire thing of like survival and trying not to die, because I feel like that's how we're living right now. And there's this thing of like, how do you say? I'll say this. When people are stressed, it kind of shows their true colors. And obviously, there are a lot of situations where we don't see the prettiest colors coming out of people. I feel like that is going on right now as well. Which is very, very sad and disturbing.
Do you mean in this but movie I guess or in like, life right now?
In life right now. Uh-huh. In life right now. Like, what do you kind of see as similarities between like the characters that are going on in the movie and real life right now in pandemic? Or do we not want to go there?
I mean, we can. I like that guy, the old rich dude, the COO of the train station, obviously the antagonist in this entire story. I was watching this, I kept thinking like, this is on a much smaller scale what is happening to the world. Like a pure situation of, hey, if you wear a mask, you can save other people's lives. But a large percentage of people are saying, F you, I don't care. I'm not wearing my mask because my life matters. So can you imagine in a zombie apocalypse, like how much nastier it can actually be when you see it and it's visible?
Right. I don't know. I think it's kind of crazy. Like, I think what I kept thinking is like, if everybody were to watch this movie and say, oh my God, the zombie virus can spread so quickly, Now just replace that with COVID. Maybe that would make people, allow people to kind of understand how fast viruses can spread. Because it still blows my mind that people don't think that it's spreading or that it's real.
COVID?
Like how, yeah. How do you, how? Why? Mm-hmm. Like just wear a freaking mask and like be courteous. And I think it's like what I'm realizing these days, which is kind of, how do you say this? Discouraging and sad in many ways. Is that I think I grew up very naive thinking like everybody's nice and everybody's pleasant and everybody's courteous. But like, that's not the case. People, there are people in the world who are not nice. There are a lot of people in the world who are very selfish, who are not courteous, who don't think of other people. And their individual right is so much more important than any rights of other people. And that's what's been really, really bothering me and making me very mad.
You know, COVID, it's like people are asymptomatic. It's like religion or something. There are a lot of people that are like, I don't see it. Therefore, I don't believe it until it affects them. That's the thing. Like even being here, you know, in Georgia, it's, you know, people like now there are like people cracking down, grocery stores cracking down. But until like a coworker gets it and then they get it, then it's the most important thing in the world. Right.
Right. I don't know. I think it was also interesting. Another interesting point in this is it's kind of weird that like this movie has so much social commentary. And I think it was a lot of it's unintentional because I don't think anybody could have imagined that coronavirus would be what it is today. Mm-hmm. And also just like the environment and kind of stuff. Like, but a part of the reason that the zombie virus started in this movie is because there's a point where he says, we invested in this company. I didn't catch exactly what they did.
Yeah. But
pretty much they were investing in a company and in order to make ends meet and to make numbers perform, they had cut corners. They did stuff that was not technically supposed to do, that they were technically not supposed to do, which led to the creation of this virus. Mm. And I was like, oh man, this is like so many parallels. I feel like it's climate change. It's corporate greed. It's how this world and the system is kind of set up right now. And unintentionally or intentionally, like there's so many things that are relevant that make me think as I was watching this movie, which I actually really, really appreciated. And I think drawing those parallels is probably what made me appreciate this movie even more than I had done before. But that's just me.
I think that's a really good point. They don't beat it over your head in this movie either.
No.
Like they, it was one simple 30-second phone call that made you understand that this greedy guy, this greedy corporation is what started this entire thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It hit different in 2020 watching this.
Yeah. A lot of things hit different in 2020. Like watching stuff, like whenever I watch TV or movies, I'm like, we can't do that. We can't go out. We can't do this. We can't do that. Like that. I've been like watching live videos of performances and it makes me so sad. Like it makes me so emotional. I'm just like really sad and emotional. Mm-hmm. And okay, here's another thing that I kept thinking about. Like in this movie, everybody's going to Busan because apparently Busan is safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Busan's supposed to be safe, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like parts of Asia are kind of like that Busan. Like Seoul, Hong Kong, you know, Singapore, Taiwan, there are these like generally safe places from coronavirus right now. And I feel like there are a lot of people, like I ran into people the other day who were like, we just flew in because America is too scary and we figured we could just kind of work here for now kind of thing. I mean, there's talks of like, you know, like isn't the NBA playing in Disney World right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like in their own sealed bubble. Off. There's talks that like different things, like they're trying to do stuff in Seoul or in China where they just kind of fly people in and they just kind of, they can't leave. They quarantine together and they just kind of work or they shoot movies or they do whatever. So it's kind of crazy, but I feel like that's going to become even more of a real situation moving forward. I've been thinking, I was like, do we need to bring mom and dad out to Korea? Because I feel like maybe they would be a little more comfortable here. I don't know. Mom's like, I don't want to sit in an apartment kind of thing.
But yeah. No, they have a pretty good setup here. I mean, they like… Dad's garden is out of control. It is
That's
like…
That's what I heard.
Dude, it is like the garden that keeps giving. Like it is… It's like… Freaking… 20 by 20. I'm talking like Jack and the Beanstalk type of like
I mean, I can't imagine.
Right now. Dude.
He's spending all of his time.
Dude, let me just give you a breakdown right now. Appa goes out there every evening and he brings back a whole like basket full of like huge tomatoes, squash, eggplant, cucumbers, red peppers, genip, green peppers. And we just get like a little thing of samjang and we just eat it. And it's like the most fresh, delicious vegetables ever. And I just can't see him leaving that. I mean, he's getting really ambitious, like growing like watermelon and just crazy things that have no business being in Atlanta. But I have a feeling he's going to make it happen.
It's the real life Farmerville.
Can you tell him to do some avocados and what else is really good? I don't know if
avocados could work.
Gotta get him started on the watermelon.
The watermelon. Oh, I want pumpkins.
Oh, dude.
You like pumpkins, Brian?
Pumpkins could be good.
Anyway, he has like different trees growing. Like places that can only… Things that can only grow in tropical areas. But somehow he keeps proving everybody wrong. Like he… Rocky was there and he would always stop and smell everything. And I'm like, Dad, what is over there? Oh, he's like, oh, I like buried a bunch of stuff for a compost. He's composting as well. So he's like putting like leftover meat and stuff like underground and making it into like an amazing fertilizer. He's going crazy with it.
But I mean…
It's impressive.
That's impressive.
And they're working from home, which is great. I'm just saying that their quality of life is pretty high. They seem pretty happy.
Okay. That's good. All right. So we should wrap this up. We've been talking too much about nonsense. I don't know what people are going to get out of this episode, honestly. Yeah. But let's talk about like… Okay. 10 out of 10. Or like give it a rating out of 10. Give it like your reason for it. And you know… How many more times do you think you watch this movie?
I'm going to give this a solid 8.3.
Okay.
I would watch it again.
Would you recommend it to somebody that hasn't seen it?
I would recommend it so that you can see Train to Busan 2 Peninsula.
Did you like Peninsula?
It was all right.
Okay, hold your thought. That's enough. I don't want to hear anymore.
What?
Because I'm going to watch it.
This guy's like, I'm going to recommend it so you have to watch Peninsula. How was it? Ma.
Yeah. I can't believe anything this guy has to say.
What this guy's saying.
Not only that, you said you give this an 8.3 out of 10. What heck?
I've been thinking about that for a while.
Okay. Thinking about what?
8.3. Why it was 8.3.
Oh,
whatever. Well, 9's way too high.
Okay.
It's too low.
All right. Eric, how about yourself?
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
This is crazy. Okay.
See, I knew it. This is… Part of it's just to be on Eddie's nerves. But the other part is like… I think it's a very solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I just don't like zombie stuff. I don't know. Like, I thought it was good. And… Oh, you know what? You know what it is? There's like parts of it… Like, there's one scene where the baseball player… Spoiler. He's just like… don't die.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then he's like, actually, just bite my face off because I'm going to die with you. And dude, the entire premise from the beginning was like, I don't like this girl. Like, I'm so over her. I'm so tough. And then I was like…
Eric, this is a chink in the armor I have seen from your movie analysis capabilities. Eric, that is called character development, dude.
It's not development if the dude is dead.
No, he didn't like the girl at first, but like she's fighting for him the entire movie and then they create a bond over time.
Dude,
and yes, she dies. She dies, but even for him, he's like pretty frail, dude. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe this girl that like I've been riding and dying for the last 2 hours is like now dead because of me. Like,
that's my point. It's 2 hours. And so…
Dude, I was like, a lot can change.
You've been riding and dying for this girl for 2 hours. Up until 2 hours ago, did not give a crap about her.
I think he did. He just didn't like… He's being teased by a bunch of like teammates.
He's being a high schooler. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I get it. But…
But what my does thing that is, have okay, to do?
Listen. If I'm in…
I feel like Ronnie right now. I just can't agree with this.
You don't have to agree with me. This is just my point. So, My other thing is, look, if I'm going to survive, if I'm going to go through all that effort, if I'm not going to be that grandma and I'm going to be running and I'm going to be fighting and I'm going to be trying to survive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not literally going to sit there and be like, oh, we got this far. I fought all these people. I literally had to like just beat the crap out of people with my bats and fight through all these cars, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, I'm just going to sit there and hold this girl who's a zombie, literally a zombie, whose eyes are blue now, and just stare at her and cry
yeah.
and wait for
helplessness,
her to eat.
Eric. You also said in the first 10 minutes of this podcast that you would just die, that you wouldn't even try to survive. This kid tried to survive, but the one person that is like literally left is dead. So he's like, oh, it was a Romeo and Juliet moment. I'm sorry you couldn't see that. I was like, yeah, that sucks for him, you know, but whatever. Like, he's like 16. He doesn't want to survive with like what he's going to survive with like this little girl and this pregnant lady. Like, no, forget about it. Like, if I'm that dude, all right, and this girl's my Juliet, I'm out. You know?
I mean, okay. Okay, listen.
Okay.
Listen.
Anyways, to each their own.
That's just my opinion. I didn't dock points from the movie for that. I think it's a very solid movie. Anything over a 7 for me is very solid. Okay? And just because you're so adamant, I'll give it an 8. All right? I'll upgrade it to an 8.
But the fact… Okay, thank you. I'll take that 8. That's way better than 7.5. Okay? All right. Ask me how I feel. You think I'm going to give this a 99?
Brian, I think we should wrap it up. So thanks guys for listening.
I'm not giving this a 9.9, okay? I give it a 9. Okay? Because I'm not crazy. There are other movies out there that are worthy of a 99% or 100%. Okay? This is not one of them. But for a zombie movie, this is… top of the line, premium A1 quality. Okay. So if you have been affected by the coronavirus, okay, which I know you have, and you haven't seen this movie, maybe there are little nuggets that you may see and appreciate that COVID is bad, but at least it's not zombie apocalypse bad. And that's what, you know, a part of it that I took out of this as well.
I'm glad you got to see the silver lining in the movie. All right, guys. So that brings us to a heated episode of Commit or Quit. And I think we all come from a good place. It was a good movie. And hopefully you guys enjoyed it as well. Let us know what you guys think by sharing your messages with us on our socials. You can do it at youtube.com/divepods or youtube.com/divestudios. We also have a Discord channel. You can come and join us. Where else can people find us, Eddie?
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at the Dive Studios. And as always, you know, let us know if we got this right or not. We have seen a lot of engagement on there and we're always reading it. So please let us know. And also follow us on Instagram at the Dive Studios and at Dive Studios on TikTok.
Yes, yes, yes. And be sure, Eric already took my line. Be sure to subscribe to Dive Studios.
Well, then you don't have to say it. You can say something else.
The only thing I have now is Patreon, the most important part. Please, please, please become.
Let's wrap this. Jesus, I have things to do.
Have you heard of Patreon? Patreon is a platform where you can support Dive Studios. You're not only just supporting us, you're supporting our entire team. You're putting bread on the table. Yes, that's true. If you go to patreon.com/divestudios, you can get access to a lot of really, really, really cool perks and benefits. Yep, yep.
All right, guys. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. You don't miss any new episodes. Leave us a nice rating review on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts. We love you guys. We'll see you next week on Commit or Quit. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
My food's here. See ya. I gotta go get food.
All right, bye.
Bye.